You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Homies. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, Mom, we want you to know that we love you. We want you to know that we are blessed to have you. We're proud of you, and we're thankful for you. You know, the great thing about the Christian life and the great thing about our faith is that when Jesus visited earth 2,000 years ago, he did something incredible for all women, not just for moms. He elevated the value and the importance of every woman. Only the Christian faith has done that. Only Jesus Christ has set that example that everyone is valuable, everyone is important. And so we just want to acknowledge all the moms here today and all the women. You are special, special, special people. And if your mom is still living with you, I want to encourage you to call her today, send her some flowers, send her a note, and let her know that you're thankful and that you're blessed because of how she served you and how she has contributed to your life. But I also want to have all of our other attention here as well. And here's what I want you to give your attention to. Hey, you know what, moms? We salute you for your service and your contribution. But the fact of the matter is, we're all called to serve. We're all called to contribute. It's something that needs to be true, not just of moms, but it needs to be true of every person. You see, you and I were not created just to consume resources or to eat and breathe and take up space. You know, you and I are created to serve. And we're in this series called Homies, taking your family to a new level. And if we're going to do that, then we all have to serve. We all have to contribute to one another. Not just mom, okay? She's not superwoman. She's incredible. She's phenomenal. But she's not superwoman. And all of us have a role to play. And so the way in which you and I can take our homies to a new level relationally is to be able to serve, to be able to serve. And really, it shows that you and I know Christ. You see, it's much more than just saying, hey, I'm a Christ follower. One of the ways that you and I prove and give evidence that we're a Christ follower is that we serve people. If you're not interested in serving people, what it basically says is you don't know Christ. Because when we come to know Christ as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, something happens to us. We begin to be transformed, and we begin to think of other people. Now, Jesus, you know, made this very, very, very clear to his homies, okay? I want you to follow along. You can take your note-taking guide today, and it's there in your notes, but here's what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 20. He called them to himself, his homies, okay? His family, the disciples. He called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. You know how other people act. You know how other people treat one another. You know how they live their lives. And those who are great exercise authority over them. He says, you've seen that, you've experienced that, you've been a part of that, and yet it shall not be so among you. He's saying, hey, homies, I want to tell you something. Here's how we do life. We don't do life like everybody else. We just don't do it. We don't rule over people. We don't dominate people. We don't intimidate people. We don't use fear. He says, we do it another way. And he goes on to say this, but whoever desires to become great. You see, that was their issue. You know, they were watching people around them who wanted to become great, and they thought, you know what, you become great by dominating people, by ruling over them, and by taking authority over them. And Jesus said, hey, that's not how we operate with one another. Not in my house. That's not how we relate to one another. He says, if you really want to be great, and I think you do because I've heard you arguing and trying to position yourself, he says, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Wow. He's saying, if you want to go to a whole new level in your relationships with people, if you really want to become great, then you serve. He goes on to say this, and whoever desires to be first, which we all do, right? We want to be first. He says, if you want to be first, then let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He's saying, I'm telling you about me. I'm telling you what I'm called to do. I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not willing to do. And to give his life as a ransom for many. And so Jesus called his homies, and he's saying, hey, I'm going to tell you how to do life. It's not to be an authority over people. It's not to lord your authority or power over people. It's to serve one another. And that's how we're going to do family. And we're going to take our family to a whole new level. Now, the amazing thing is, a great example of this was Jesus' mother, Mary. You know, just a humble servant. One that no one would have chosen. No one would have picked her out of the crowd, except God did. And here's what she said. She said, I am the servant of the Lord. Let this happen to me as you say. Wow. She said, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it happen to me just as you say. You see, listen, when you want to bring Christ into an environment, when you want to bring Christ into your family, when you want to bring Christ into your workplace, when you want to bring Christ into a relationship, do you know what we do? We take on this attitude. Lord, I'm your servant. Let it happen to me as you say. And whenever you and I begin to serve one another, we bring the presence of Christ in that relationship. You're saying, I'm dying for my husband to come to Christ. Serve him. I'm dying for my wife to come to Christ. Serve her. I'm dying for my boss to come to Christ. Serve them. I'm dying for my son to come to Christ. Serve them. I'm dying for my daughter to come to Christ. Serve them. Because the quickest and the fastest way that you and I can get into somebody's life, the quickest and the fastest way that you and I can influence somebody is to serve. Martin Luther King said it this way, said everybody can be great because everybody can serve. And yet we have a tendency to think that greatness is in position because we think like the world. And Jesus said, not with my homies. Hey, let me tell you how to do life. You want to be great? Serve. You want to have great relationships? Serve. You want to be a great daddy? Serve. You want to be a great mommy? Serve. You want to be a great friend? Serve. You want to be a great leader? Serve. Serve, serve, serve. It's the quickest and the fastest way to take your family to a new level. Take your marriage to a new level. Take any relationship to a new level. And so Jesus says this to his homies. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Wow. You know what he is saying? And you know what he's conveying to them? He's conveying to them this truth, and it is this. Servants shift their expectations. If you and I are going to serve, then we have to shift our expectations. You see, Jesus did not come with the expectation of being served. He didn't come into the world and go, ta-da, I'm here, serve me. No, he had a mindset, and he declared it. He said, hey, I want you to know what I'm about. I'm about serving other people. And a servant shifts their expectations. They wake up every day assuming that they're not going to be served. They wake up every day seeking opportunities to serve other people. You see, service starts in our mind. It starts in the way in which we think. And to be a servant requires a mental shift in every single one of us. It requires a change in our attitude. Because to be a servant, I must think like a servant. You and I cannot act inconsistently with how we think. And yet what happens is there's two attitudes that kill serving. And this is why we need to have a shift in our expectations. You know, the first attitude that kills us in serving is the attitude, I am exempt from responsibility. That I'm just not responsible for my actions and my words and my behaviors and my problems. They're somebody else's issue. I'm not responsible for how I affect you or for how I speak to you or impact you. I basically can do anything that I want to because I'm exempt from responsibility. You know what this basically is? You listening to me? It's called entitlement. It's a disease in America today that's infecting our marriages and our families and our workplace. I'm not responsible for that. I'm not responsible for that. But I want to be great. I want to be great. I want to be great. Will you notice me? Will you notice me? Will you give me more responsibility? But I'm not responsible for that. See, servants don't run from responsibility. Servants run to responsibility. They see a need and they fill it. They see a need and they fill it. And yet an attitude that is very much alive in our culture today is one of entitlement. That is, I'm exempt from responsibility. Here's another attitude that kills us, that needs to have a shift, and that is this. I deserve special treatment. I deserve special treatment. Or I'm owed special treatment. Because I'm the center of the universe. Don't you know that? The world revolves around me. Your job is to make me happy. And I deserve to be happy. And you should want to make me happy. So no matter what I do, I'm not responsible for it. And yet you owe me special treatment. And what happens is you put those two things together, I'm exempt from responsibility and I deserve special treatment. That's like putting a match and gas together. It just blows up. And it blows up marriages. It blows up workplaces. It blows up families. It blows up relationships. When we come in with the attitude that I'm exempt from responsibility and I deserve to have special treatment, it just kills relationships. And yet Paul says it like this. Paul says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. I mean, he just hits us right between the eyes. He says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. You see, God wants you and I to look at ourselves in a way that we take responsibility for the way in which we live. That I am responsible. And I don't deserve special treatment. Yes, I'm loved. And yes, I'm unique. But I don't get special treatment. Because I'm here to serve. I'm here to contribute. I'm here to make a difference. You see, basically, servants think more about others than themselves. That's basically what servants do. They focus on other people, not themselves. And basically, this is the quality of humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. It's focusing on other people. How's this going to affect them? How's this going to impact them? What is this going to do to them? You see, Paul goes on to say in another letter, he says, put yourself aside. Now, I know that's a major task, okay? Because the fact of the matter is, we're self-centered and we're insecure, okay? But he says, put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Don't be obsessed with getting your own way, okay? Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Wow. See, that's where we need to go. And for you to do that, for me to do that, for us to be able to do that, we have to shift our expectation. I am responsible. And I don't deserve special treatment. You see, when we stop focusing on our own needs, we become aware of the needs around us. And that's what servants do. Moms, you do it very well. Your focus is on other people's needs. And we applaud you today. Matter of fact, I don't know why we just do it one day a year. It needs to be done every day of the year. Because you're incredible, you're awesome, you're great. But the fact of the matter, dads and sons and daughters, you know what? We're all called to do this. This is not just mom's job description. This is our job description. This is our life calling to serve one another. And Jesus gave us the pattern. It says here that Jesus emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant. He what? He emptied himself of being exempt from responsibility, of being owed special treatment. Let me ask us a question today. When was the last time you emptied yourself for someone else's benefit? When was the last time that you just emptied yourself, you put yourself aside and said, you know what, I'm not going to be concerned with me. I'm going to be concerned with how this impacts and influences them. See, that's a servant. That's a servant. And you say, well, what happens if somebody takes advantage of me? See, we're so worried that somebody's going to take advantage. Listen to me. If you become a servant, people will take advantage of you. But here's what Jesus has to say about that, the greatest servant of all. He says, if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. And you know what? Where we will get taken advantage of most, two places, home and work. And those are the two places that God will use to develop you and me into servants. Into servants. Albert Schweitzer said it like this, and I think it's so true. The only really happy people are those who have learned to serve. So let me ask you, how happy are you? You say, I'm not very happy, I'm depressed. Then serve. Usually depressed people have an inward focus. Y'all all right? You want to get out of that depression? Start focusing on other people. You discouraged? Then start focusing on other people. Get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes on other people. You're not happy with your marriage? Start serving him. Not happy with your marriage? Start serving her. Not happy with your family? Start serving mom and dad. Not happy with your family? Start serving one another. Not happy at work? Start serving one another. Not happy with your homies? Start serving them. You see, listen to me. The fewer the expectations you have, the happier you will be. See, we have all these high expectations that everybody's supposed to treat us with special treatment and make us happy. You know what? You're one depressed dude. And you're one depressed woman. See, the fact of the matter is we need to get up every morning not expecting people to serve us. We need to get up every morning expecting to serve other people because we want to be great, don't we? We want our kids to be great, don't we? Then we need to serve. Jesus goes on and tells his homies this. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Wow. To give his life as a ransom for many. Servants not only shift their expectations, but servants understand their assignment. Servants understand their assignments. You see, Jesus understood his assignment. What was his assignment? His assignment was to come and to serve and to give his life as a what? Ransom. He knew what his assignment was. And for you and I to excel and to be able to be servants and to serve one another at a high level, we have to understand our assignments. We got to know what we are to do. Jesus did. Hey, I've come to serve and to die on a cross. And if you and I don't fully understand our assignments, then what happens is we don't have clarity. We'll be confused. And I believe that there's at least three assignments that we're called to do as people, as families, as homies. Let me give them to you quickly. The first one is to provide. Our assignment is to provide for one another. 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul is talking to Timothy, and here's what he has to say. If anyone does not provide for those who are his own, his homies, okay, he has disowned the faith. Basically what he is saying, if we don't take care of one another, don't be saying that you're a Christ follower. You're not a Christ follower, you're a consumer. That's what you are, okay? You shall know them by their fruit, not by their profession. And so one of the ways that I show that I know Christ is I provide for the people in my life. I provide for my homies. And when I don't do that, what happens is I'm denying my faith. I'm denying my confession. And so how should we provide for our homies? How should we provide for those that we do life with? Let me give you a couple of ways. First way is through an example. Albert Schweitzer would say it like this. Albert Schweitzer would say, there is nothing more powerful than an example. See, you know this and I know this. More is caught than taught. You know, what we say to our kids is, haven't I told you? Yeah, you have, Dad, but I've been watching you. And you're not doing what you're asking me to do. You see, more is caught than taught. And so we need to provide a very clear example. We need to be saying this to all of our homies. Follow me as I follow Christ. We're so worried that somebody is going to look at our life. Oh, they're looking at your life. And our actions do speak louder than words. And so we need to be able to provide an example. Let me give you two areas. The first area is our relationship with God. You know, our kids, hey, mom and dad, our kids should see in us an example of connecting with God. That's why it's important that you're here. That's why church should be one of your top priorities, not sports. Y'all right on that one? See, your kids are watching which is most important to you. And they find out by how you determine priority. And you say, well, we can go. We'll miss church. Yeah, we'll go. What happens is what they're seeing from you, even though you say something else, is that God's not really that important to you. And more is caught than taught. And then you wonder why they don't want anything to do with God. You see, you need to provide an example of connecting with God. Of saying to them and them watching you connect with God. That's why family prayer is so important. Praying at your meals. Saying, you know what, we're seeking God. We're wanting to know His will for our life. And so connecting with God is huge. The other one is relationships with other people. And that is connecting with other people. And helping other people connect with God. You see, listen to me. Does this sound familiar? what's our calling here at New Point? To help people connect with God, connect with others, and to connect others to God. See, that should be your calling in your house. Your kids should know that you're in a small group. Your kids should know that you're in community. That life alone is too dangerous. They should hear you say, hey, you know what? We're praying for so-and-so because they don't know Christ. And that's how you give an example of a relationship with God and with others. And by the way, Dad, your sons are learning from you on how to treat women. And Mom, your daughters are learning how they should respond to men. Because you see, that's the first time that they see opposite sex interacting. Hello? And if I don't respect Patty, then my boys will not respect women. And if Patty does not relate to me and respond to me in a way of humility as well, then you know what? Then my daughter won't respect men. And so we need to provide an example. The second thing is we need to provide a nurturing environment. A nurturing environment. And this is huge because when you have a nurturing environment, whether it's at home or whether it's at work, what happens is you're meeting people's greatest needs. And what is great people's greatest need? To experience a secure love, a significant purpose, and a strong hope. And so we need to be able to provide a nurturing environment. You say, well, what does a nurturing environment look like? Let me give you some things. First of all, it's freedom to be different. Listen, all of us are a little bit weird and quirky. Would you agree with me? But we need to be able to be in an environment of where we can be who? Ourselves. Because that's what makes us unique and that's what makes us special. Even though it may make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. And we need to be able to do it with our kids to give them the freedom to be different. We need to give them the freedom to be vulnerable. That they can come to us and they can share their fears and their insecurities. And what's happening in their life without being reprimanded for it. And be able to say, hey, you know what? I can be vulnerable with my dad. I can be able to talk with my dad. One of our kids gave me one of the greatest compliments. I mean, I think I grew 3 inches. And here's what he said. Dad, the conversations that we're having, none of my friends are able to have with their dad. And it made me happy, but it made me sad. You see, a nurturing environment allows people to be vulnerable. It also gives them the freedom to be candid, that they can speak honestly, that your kids can speak honestly to you. And tell you the truth. You know what? What you said hurt me, Dad. What you did, Mom, disappointed me. Y'all right on that one? And I tell you what, if you allow people to be candid with you in the workplace and in your home, you know what we will do? We will be eating a lot of crow. You will begin to say, you know what? Forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't handle that very well. But see, the reason why people aren't candid with this is because we don't give them the freedom to be vulnerable. Y'all right? So you know what? We never have real, honest conversations. And so they don't grow, they don't develop. How about this one? The freedom to make mistakes. Listen, your kids and my kids are going to make mistakes. The people that you work with, they're going to make mistakes. It's just when and how big. Okay? They're going to make them. The question is, are they free to make them? And then we can have a conversation on what we can learn from them and how we can correct them and how we can grow from them. You see, we need to provide an example of our relationship with God and with other people, but we also need to provide a nurturing environment. Let me give you this last one, and that is this. We need to provide a vision for life. A vision for life. Hey, you want hey Dad, you want to know why your son and daughter hang around people that you don't like? Because they have a more clear, compelling vision than what you do for life. You see, vision attracts people. And Mom and Dad, we need to be providing a vision for life for our kids of saying, hey, you know what? This incredible God who loves you has an incredible future for you. And he wants to use you in incredible ways. And you know what else? Nobody can ruin your life except for you. Nobody can stop you from fulfilling God's vision for your life other than you. They can hurt you. They can hinder you. But they can't stop you. And you need to be able to provide an incredible vision for life so that they will see God in all of his greatness and in all of his goodness and his generosity. And so we're called to provide an example for our homies. We're called to provide a nurturing environment. And we're called to provide a vision that is so big that it has to include God because they want adventure in their life. And God has it for them. But we have to paint the picture. And so servants understand their assignment. And this is our assignment, mom and dad. This is our assignment, homies. For every Christ follower here, every person that we come in contact with, we're called to provide an example, a nurturing environment, and a vision for their life, for something more. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. But it's more than provide. We're called to protect. We're called to protect. Here's what 1 Peter has to say. He says, stay alert, mom and dad. Watch out for the great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Wow. You see, I'm called to protect. That's one of my assignments. I've got four kids, man. There's an enemy that wants to destroy them. I have a wife. There's an enemy that wants to destroy her. I have homies. I have friends. And there's an enemy who wants to devour them. And I'm called to watch out for them. Because we all have blind spots. All have blind spots. Ecclesiastes, the wisest man in the world, says this: remember your creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. Before the what? Before the difficult days come. They're coming. There's difficult days coming for your sons and daughters and for you and for me and for your homies, because we live in a broken world. The question is, are we going to help protect them? Not from that, but in that. Because they're going to come. And so how should we protect them? Let me give you two ways. One is spiritually. Hey, mom and dad, you're called to spiritually protect your son and daughter, and that means that you guard what comes in your home. From the TV to the computer. Do you know that the average boy sees his first pornography has his first pornography experience at the age of 9? We're called to protect them from that. Do you know that we're called to protect our daughters from giving their physical body for an emotional experience? See, we're called to protect them spiritually. That's why we have to have a nurturing environment, so that we can have talks about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Because it's there. We're called to protect them relationally. You know, we need to be able to understand, who is my kid hanging out with? You know, if you have a friend, who are my friends hanging out with? You know, I just talked to a good friend of mine, and they were in a relationship that I told them right up front. I said, you stay in this relationship and you're going to wreck your life. And I want you to know that I love you and I care about you. But you need to end this relationship now. What was I doing? I was taking care of one of my homies. I told her, I said, you know what? This is bad. I smell it and I see it and I sense it. And I love you. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. You see, here's what we have to understand. Relationships determine the direction and the quality of your life. The direction of your life is highly influenced by the people in your life and your homies. And so I need to protect my homies spiritually and relationally. And I need to take it seriously. And then finally, I need to pray. This is the third assignment. I need to pray. I need to pray for my homies. Here's what Samuel has to say. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Wow. See, one of the greatest things that you and I can do, and it's one of our assignments, is to pray for one another. Listen to me. I'm alive today because of the prayers of my mom and dad. I could have very easily died in high school with the places that I found myself and the cars that I rode in. I could have found myself wrapped around a telephone. Now, I know that most of you think I'm a horrible driver, but I wasn't even driving, okay? But we were under the influence. And I'm only alive today because of the grace of God and the prayers of my mom and dad. You know, here's how Jesus handled it with his homies. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you like a grain. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your faith and confidence in me may not fail. Listen to me, mom and dad. Listen to me very carefully. Satan wants permission to sift your son and your daughter so that they will lose confidence in God. or your best friend. And we're called to pray. Pray. What did Jesus do? Jesus had all the resources at his disposal. All of the, he could have called 10,000 angels down for Peter. But you know what Jesus did? He prayed. He prayed. And you and I, when we pray for our kids and we pray for our homies and we pray for our husband and we pray for our wife, what happens is we're doing something powerful. Matter of fact, we're doing the most powerful thing. We believe the lie that prayer doesn't work, but it does work. Look at what James has to say. He says this, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Wow. Powerful and effective. So what's my assignment? It's to provide an example, a nurturing environment. A vision for life. It's to protect spiritually and relationally, and it's to pray. Let me close with this question. How would your life be different today if you had grown up in a home that was intentional about serving in this way? I guarantee you, almost all of us, we would say we'd be in a different spot today. The good news is you can give that to your homies. And the question that we need to answer today is this: whom do you need to serve? Whom do you need to serve to take your whole family to a whole new level? Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you for Jesus, who modeled servanthood like no one else, and that he took all of his relationships, all of his homies, to a whole nother level, that they experienced not only life, but they experienced life to the fullest. And I pray today, God, for myself and for each and every one of us, that we would shift our expectations and that we would understand our assignments, and that whether it be our families or our homies, that we would take all of our relationships to a whole nother level because we serve. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.